Question. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, when the characteristics of the intelligence are described, why is sleep described to be a characteristic of intelligence? Answer. Because sleep enables us to perceive the higher realities of life, not by sleeping, but by analyzing the experience of sleep. And this verse 3:26:30 in the chapter Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, which is the teachings of Lord Kapildev to Devahuti, the verse is Samshayotha viparyaso nishchaya smritirevacha svapityuchyate buddhir lakshanam vrittita prithak. So the five characteristics of intelligence are described to be samshaya, doubt, viparyaso, misapprehension, nishchaya, correct understanding or correct apprehension, assertment. Then smritir, remembrance, memory. And swap is sleep or dream. Swap is related with sapna. Now, firstly, intelligence itself is subtle. It is a part of the subtle body. And when we say that intelligence has some features, those features are also subtle. They are not like the parts of a machine. Certainly not like the, say, the parts of a computer chip, where a particular area of a chip is doing a particular function and another area is doing a particular function. So these are more of the faculties that enable intelligence. So by utilizing these five faculties or abilities, one can become intelligent. Or rather, intelligence acts, expresses, manifests itself through these five things. So let's see how this happens. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that samshaya, doubt, is a sign of intelligence. Only a intelligent person can have doubts. When a person is not intelligent, the opposite of intelligent is foolish, and one character of a foolish person is gullibility. The person just easily believes whatever is told. You know, advertisements tell that, say, cigarette smoking is cool, and people believe it. So they don't have the intelligence to doubt. How can fire be cool? So samshaya is the characteristic of intelligence. Of course, it is not the only characteristic of intelligence. There is, by samshaya we start, that is the first step. I understand, okay, this seems to be wrong. Or at least this may not be right. I have my questions about the correctness of this particular statement or assessment or whatever we are trying to understand. So then from doubt, one moves to the next step, that is samshaya viparyasa. That is false apprehension. That means one understands that, okay, this is false. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that by doubting whether I am the body, one can come to the conclusion, actually I am not the body. And then after that, there is nishchaya. Nishchaya means correct assessment. That means, okay, analyze, if I am not the body, then what am I? Then one gradually uses one's intelligence. In general, to come to samshaya and viparyasa can happen by just one's intellectual faculties, by one's analysis. But for nishchaya, usually scriptural knowledge is required. Without the guidance of Guru Sadhu Shastra, it is generally difficult to come to nishchaya. Some nishchaya, people who are in goodness or people who have some perceptiveness from their past lives, might be able to come to some level of discernment. But in general, nishchaya will be greatly facilitated by Guru Sadhu Shastra. It is not that just one dogmatically or thoughtlessly accepts what Guru Sadhu Shastra is saying, but that after one starts doubting, so And the whole advertisement industry is telling us that the world is a place of happiness. There's enjoyment if you just purchase this particular product or do this particular activity. So an intelligent person will have some skepticism, some shared doubt. Then one will understand, actually, so many diseases and dangers and misunderstandings and natural calamities, and there are adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik klesh. So where is the question of happiness? So one will realize that the idea that there is enjoyment in this world, or this world is an enjoyable place, is a viparyasa. It is a false understanding, and we will realize that it's false. But then after that, when I study the scripture and I understand, yes, nishchaya, scriptures also give further description of how I am, this world is a place of misery. And after that, further the scriptures also gives knowledge of the spiritual world, which is a true place of happiness. So that nishchaya, it is generally difficult to come to just by our independent analysis. Then smriti. Smriti here refers to remembrance. Even when we study something, hear something, analyze or even realize something, it is not that automatically in the future we'll be able to recollect it when we need it. So in general, in our today's education system, the capacity to remember facts is considered to be a sign of intelligence. And that is a characteristic of intelligence, an important characteristic of intelligence. But it is not the only characteristic of intelligence. Here smriti refers more fundamentally to the capacity to recollect our understandings. So Srila Prabhupada also other places would give the example that I remember that I was still existing, but my body was entirely different. When I was a small child, I had such a tiny body. Now I have a big body. I was small, I have become big, but I am still the same. So this is also one example of smriti, where the recollection of the past events or insights or experiences helps us to approach the present with greater perceptiveness, in a sense with greater intelligence. So smriti is also is a characteristic of intelligence. In the Bhagavad Gita also, in 2.62 and 63, when Krishna talks about how temptations overpower us, he says, smriti brahmashat buddhi nasho, that once the smriti is destroyed, buddhi collapses. So in a functional sense, actually our intelligence on a day-to-day basis is largely dependent on smriti. If I am going to drive a car or operate a computer, I have to have some smriti, subconscious at least, at how to I am to operate the car, how I am to type on a computer. So without that, we will not be able to do anything. And then, now, why I gave all this background analysis to come to the point of swap is that these are all subtle faculties. So the phenomena of sleep enables us to infer that the physical or the bodily reality that I experience and that I consider to be real is not all that of a solid reality that it seems to be. Because I just have to lie down and I go to sleep, and as I go to sleep, I just forget everything that on a day-to-day basis I am so worried about. You know, imagine if somebody had a disease during which every day for a few hours that person would have a memory blackout. And we would consider that to be a very alarming disease. If you go and approach a person and that person is not able to respond to any question, not able to even recognize us, not completely blacked out, we would consider it to be a very alarming thing. But because sleep happens to us every day so frequently and to everyone, we don't realize how extraordinary the ramifications, the implications are of how our perception of reality gets altered by the simple experience of sleep. So what we consider as a rock solid reality disappears just by closing our eyes and lying down and switching off the consciousness. And then we enter into an entirely different realm. Now, we may say that it is not real because every time we wake up, that reality disappears. But actually, every time we go to sleep, also the waking reality disappears. And although every day when we wake up, we return to the waking reality, it is not that eternally we will be returning back to this waking reality. When we die, we will no longer return back to this reality. So that's why we have a 6-hour dream when we sleep at night, and we have a 60-year dream when we are awake in the daytime. But both are in a sense dreams. So again, what is the inference from all this? So in general, the awareness of the world around us is not there in sleep, at least not the daily world, and at least not the daily world as it is moving about and functioning at that particular time when we are sleeping. So, and we don't have even often the awareness of our body. Our body is sleeping peacefully on the bed, but we may imagine that we are traveling somewhere and we are in a crowded train, or we are in a luxurious plane or whatever. So that means we have self-awareness without body awareness during dreams. And this itself indicates that self-awareness is not dependent on body or body awareness. The capacity for self-awareness is different from the body. And by this we infer that the self is different from the body. So just by swap, if we analyze seriously the phenomena of sleep, we will understand that actually I am not my body. When I dream and I experience, say, the pleasure of a beautiful sight, my eyes, bodily physical eyes, are closed and I am asleep and my eyes are not experiencing anything. So I experience, but my body doesn't experience. That indicates that the experiencer or I is not the body. The I is somebody else. So that's how the whole phenomena of swapa, it enables us to perceive higher realities. So that's how sleep itself is a characteristic of intelligence, in the sense that sleep every day reminds us that what we consider of as reality is not permanent reality, and there are alternate realities, and there may be a highest reality, which we can find out through Guru Sadhu Shastra. So, therefore, the swapa, which causes a temporary amnesia, temporary forgetfulness of our daily identity, daily of our normal waking identity, gives us an indication of higher realities. And that's how it is a characteristic of the intelligence. Thank you.